ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीशुक उवाच या एष उत्थानपर मनावास्या अनुवाणिता वंश प्रियव्रतस् आपि निबोधा नृप सत्तमा। श्रीशुक उवाच य एष उत्थानपारो मानवस्यानुवर्णितः वंशप्रियाव्रतस्यापि निबोधनृपसातमा। श्रीशुक उवाच या एष उत्थानपारो मानवस्यानुवाणितः वंशप्रियाव्रतस्यापि निबोधनृपसातमा। श्रीशुक उवाच य एष उत्थानपारो मानवस्यानुवाणितः वंशप्रियाव्रतस्यापि निबोधनृपसत्तमाच एव उत्थानपदो मानवस्यानुवर्णितः वंशप्रियाव्रतस्यापि निबोधनृपसातमा। लेडीज श्रीशुक उवाच सैष उत्थानपादो श्रीशुकोवाच एष उत्थानपदो श्रीशुकोवाच जानपदो मानवस्यानुवाणितः वंशयाव्रतस्यापि निबोधनृपसतमा। Synonym: श्रीशुक उवाच। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी said, Ya, which, Asia, this dynasty, Uttanapada, of King Uttanapada, Manavasya, the son of Swayambhuva Manu, Anuvarnita, described, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. Vamsha, dynasty, Priyavratya, of King Priyavrat. Api, also, Nibodha, try to understand. Nripasatama, O best of kings. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of kings, King Parikit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Swayambhuva Manu, Uttanapad. I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrat, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu. Please hear them attentively. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of kings, King Parikit, I have now finished telling about the descendants of the first son of Swayambhuva Manu, Uttanapad. I shall now try to relate the activities of the descendants of Priyavrata, the Swayambhuva Manu. Please hear them attentively. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was the son of King Uttanapad. And as far as the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj or King Uttanapad are concerned, their activities have been described up to the point of the Prachetas. Now, Sri Shukadeva Goswami desires to describe the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrat, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Shakshura Meditam Yena Tasma Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare. Everyone, Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Sva Padantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhaivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So this knowledge we're reading from every morning is for the swan-like devotees. There's only two types of life in this universe, material life and or spiritual life. And the living entity leaves the spiritual world because he wants to choose something separate from spiritual life. He wants to seek some separate existence, some separate identity other than being an eternal servant of God or Krishna. So thus begins his problems, his troubles, his problems. Whenever anyone tries to separate themselves from God, they're in big trouble. Krishna calls it Maya, illusion. And the whole world is in Maya, not just a handful of people, the whole world is in Maya. Of course, this is the definition of the material world. The living entities who are envious of God, they take on various material bodies, they live in different planets, and they all try to enjoy themselves separate from Krishna. This illusion, however, creates ripples, effects that disturb everything. It doesn't only disturb their real happiness, it disturbs the entire planet. And the more people become an illusion, the more demoniac they become, or godless. Srila Prabhupada would use that term a lot. The more godless they become, then the more problems they create. Isn't that interesting? The more godless society becomes, the more problems they create. take any problem that is created by the materialistic society, which is governed by materialistic leaders, take any problem, and you can trace it back to godlessness. For instance, Srila Prabhupada kindly informs all of us, and we didn't know this before, he informs us that human life is meant for simple living and high thinking. Simple living and high thinking. That's never taught in the schools. It's never taught in the modern-day, present-day universities. Quite a different thing is taught. But this is the purpose of human life. The greatest brains that have ever lived in this material universe, the brains of great sages, pure devotees, they inform us, like Narada Muni, we're hearing about Narada Muni, they inform us that the goal of life is to actually, even though you came here with material desires, you developed material desires, and you want to fulfill your material desires, when you meet a bona fide guru, like Narada Muni, like Srila Prabhupada, they tell you just the opposite. The goal of life is to give up all material desires and to return home from where you came from, back to Godhead. So we have to undo this complicated network of Maya that we have desired and that we have created around us. And this is a arduous or sometimes difficult job for the conditioned souls, because we have ourselves to identify not only with our bodies, with our families, bodies, with the environment of the material, you know, that atmosphere, and even our names. So the first thing the spiritual master gives us upon initiation is a new name, right? We think we're part of this dynasty, that dynasty. We think that our mission in life is to become like my materialistic father, to take a hold of the business, small business, big business, and so forth. So when we start reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we understand that we have to undo all this. We have to, if we want to achieve Krishna, we have to give up everything else. So Sukadeva Goswami calls Maharaj Parikit, "O best of kings." And this title was given to many of the kings in the Srimad Bhagavatam. O best of kings, O great king. Materialistic people address other materialistic people. Oh, great this, oh, great emperor, oh, great such and such. You have lakhs of rupees, millions and billions of dollars. You are so... But we don't call those people great. We call those people, whether they're kings or whether they're the sweeper of the street, we call those people who fully surrender to Krishna great. All right? They are great. And a king, a real king, not the kings of today who don't have any power. You know, there's a few kings on the planet, probably a few in India too, but, you know, they're just carrying the title. But a king who has so much material opulence and material power, and they give it all to Krishna, that is a great personality. That is great. We want to follow such a person. We want that kind of a leader. We want those kind of leaders in ISKCON, right? We have such a leader in ISKCON. He's here, Srila Prabhupada. And those leaders who follow Srila Prabhupada, we bow to them and we want to follow them back home, back to Godhead. So sometimes, of course, how many of you are living in Vrindavan full time? Just a handful. So most of you are visiting. So Prabhupada told most of us who didn't get the opportunity to reside in Vrindavan, but he told us to visit Vrindavan and recharge our spiritual batteries to get some blessings of the Dham, blessings of Krishna Balaram, blessings of the devotees to go back out and preach about Vrindavan. I was thinking when I was chanting my japa around the temple this morning, Krishna put this thought in my head that what are the things that make our spiritual master so great? What are the things that make it so great? And probably the biggest thing, Srila Prabhupada said, I was very happy in Vrindavan. Right? He was very happy. How many of you were happy in Vrindavan? Raise your hand. However, Srila Prabhupada, to save the world, to give the world Krishna, he said he left Vrindavan. And he was missing his deities. Who was his deities he was missing? Shishi Radha Damodar. He was missing his deities, but he went to the snowy streets of New York to tell people who did not even know if there is a God. You know, many people in America and Europe and so on, many people, they don't even know if there is a God. Not only do we know now by Prabhupada's grace there is a God, but we know who God is. We know he likes to dance with Srimati Radharani and wear peacock feather and so on. But many people don't even understand. And then we have friends who write these books for the universities, and they try to convince people this illusion that there is no God. And then we have some other nonsense persons that come from India and go to the West, and they tell people the same kind of nonsense in a different way. The materialistic scientists say there's no God, and the bogus bogey yogis, they go to the West saying, you're God. It's the same thing. There's no God, you're God. So everybody's confused. And then the exploitative politicians that are ruling the world or thinking they're ruling the world, they tell everybody the purpose of life is economic development. So everybody's hearing this all the time. And why do they tell people that? Because they get all of everybody's money. They tax everybody and so on. And then many of these people take a lower birth in their next life. Srila Prabhupada said when he preached in America and around the world, many people are going to take birth in the next life as cats and dogs. Cats and dogs. And since Prabhupada, one devotee, Rupanuga Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's first GBC, he said, do you know how many cats and dogs there are now in the United States? Since Prabhupada came in 1966, there are more cats and dogs than humans. And he said, what he said is becoming a fact. People are dying and they're taking birth in a way that befits their activities. So this is why Srila Prabhupada left India, left Vrindavan, to go tell these people compassionately, tell them that they're spoiling their lives. They're spoiling their lives. You have attained this human form. Have you ever? We've all heard this, but some people have never heard this. You have attained this human form after going through 8 million lower species. Now the purpose of this human life is not to just live like cats and dogs and try to enjoy sense gratification. What does Narada Muni say? The purpose of life? Tapo divyam putraka yena shatram shudyajya brahma sokyam tanantam. If you really want to become happy, he even told this to the Beatles. The Beatles thought they were happy, but when they attained fame and money, they weren't happy. Many of these popular people, probably the same people in Bollywood also, the materialistic people that become famous, they're not happy. Because everyone is a spirit soul. We're a spiritual being. We need spiritual pleasure. So we have to perform some tapasya, some sacrifice, if we want to make spiritual advancement, which means getting out of the maya, getting out of the illusion, right? We have all fallen into maya. We've heard the saying, fall down. We've all fallen down from the spiritual world. And sometimes you hear such and such a devotee, oh, this devotee has fallen down. At the end of the story, if you fall down in the temple room, what are you going to do? If you fall down, you trip over somebody, you get up. So we have to all get up and keep going towards Krishna. And we have to try to be like Srila Prabhupada in the sense that he's very compassionate. that the people come to the temple. We want to give them Krishna. Of course, they're getting Krishna, but we want to give them this Krishna so they get more understanding and understand everything, how to get out of Maya, how to develop their love of God, how to become a servant of God, servant of Krishna. Some of you today are here, maybe at Vrindavan for the first time. How many people are here for the first time? Maybe some of you are thinking what it's like to be a servant of Krishna. Every painting you see, Krishna with his devotees, everyone looks so blissful, so ecstatic. They're in love. Don't they look like they're in love? Every painting, the cows are in love with Krishna. The cowherd boys are in love with Krishna. The temple president is in love with Krishna. Everybody, Jai Shishi Gornitai. So serving Krishna means to become free from the distresses of the material existence. There is no other way. There is no other way to solve the problems of the world without consulting Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains, we've read Bhagavad Gita, and now we understand how to become not only peaceful, not only happy, we understand how to really help the world. We've given up our own selfish desires to try to help others, right? That's the Sankirtan movement. Selfish, everyone's selfish in the material world. Especially in the West, they have, I don't know, in India, they put these signs, everyone has, no trespassing. On there, especially the richer you are, the bigger the sign. No trespassing. They're selfish. They want to enjoy God's property for themselves. Once morning walk in Denver, Colorado, Satsarup Maharaj, some devotees, and Satsarup Maharaj, who was our GBC in Denver in 1975, he pointed out to Srila Prabhupada that the richest man lives up this driveway in this big house. The richest man, and Prabhupada. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada, we were wondering how we might approach him and try to ask him to help, you know, give some money to help our movement. At least something, help us. And we were thinking, he said, Satsumar said, we were thinking that in the beginning we just flatter him. You've heard that. A good way to get, you know, flatter a big man and then he might, he knows who I am and then he gives some money. That's one way. But in this instance, Prabhupada said, he put down his cane in the dirt, and he said, no, you tell him that you have stolen this money from Krishna, now give it back. Everything belongs to God. Who can deny that? The demons will deny that. And that's why they're called demons. But everything belongs to God, and everything, all God's property, Prabhupada just doesn't say that, and that's all. He finishes it. He's practically the only person who finishes it, the only preacher of any religion. Not only does everything belong to God, everything should be used in God's service. Everything, starting with you, and you, and us, everything. Everything should be used in God's service. All your money, everything is God's. It's Krishna's. It's not yours. It's not ours. So this is why these are great kings. They understood this. They are Rajarshis. If they walked into the temple now, they would take off their crown, right? And they would bow down to first Srila Prabhupada, then the devotees who are trying to serve Prabhupada and carry that message, and to Krishna. And it says if you walk into the temple of Krishna with a big crown, and you don't bow down with that crown to Krishna, your crown is nothing but a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden. And it will be so. You'll have so many problems in your life. In Kali Yuga, the problems are magnified so much. That's all there are is problems. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyu padrataha. Vyasadeva said, there's just so many faults in Kali Yuga. But there's one good thing in the Kali Yuga. Who knows what it is? One good thing. Harinam, 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 eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. So some devotees stay on for their life and go back to Godhead or come back again to help Srila Prabhupada. spread this mission. Some devotees read these books. They become more intelligent, understand how the material world works. And they may again go back in the material world to make money just for themselves. And they forget who is the owner of this money. Krishna is always testing us. If Krishna gives you $1 million today, what are you going to do with it? Let's ask everybody in the temple. You get that special rickshaw you've been dreaming about. So we should use it in Krishna's service. Have to be very careful. Whether you're wearing blue cloth, white cloth, yellow cloth, orange cloth, everything is for Krishna. Especially if you're wearing saffron cloth. When people in India see saffron cloth, especially when they carry a danda, at least in South India, they'll touch their feet and give you so much. You have to give it all to Krishna. You can't think, oh, this is a good way to make money. No. Then Maya has captured you, and you not get Krishna, you come back in the... So anyway, anybody who's thinking, maybe, how do I know Krishna is the Supreme Being? How do I know he's the most intelligent person that can solve all the problems of the world? You got to read the Bhagavad Gita, and you'll be convinced. Study the Bhagavad Gita. That's how we were convinced. One verse every night, and somebody explains... Somebody answers questions, somebody asks questions, we become convinced. Everybody, I look at everybody here, they're very intelligent. Everybody's very intelligent. But our intelligence was convinced that Maya is the only way, that material life is the only way. We didn't know anything else. So Bhagavad Gita, verse by verse, if somebody here is not convinced yet, how do I know Krishna is God? How do I know Krishna? So you read Bhagavad. Krishna explains to you very carefully everything, who you really are, and the modes of material nature. And if you pick this mode, Rajaguna, this is what you're going to suffer. If you pick this mode, Tamaguna, you become a pig or something. This is what you. And if you Sattvaguna, you can live in the higher planets and so on. Everything's explained. Just like when we're born, our fathers. Good father, he gives some instruction. My dear son, you do like this, you do like that. And then you can manage yourself properly. A little baby doesn't know what to do, right? If you take a baby with no mother, no father, what's going to happen to them? So Krishna is like that. He's the father, supreme father. In Bhagavad Gita, he explains everything so clearly. And the goal, after you read Bhagavad Gita, you understand I'm part of Krishna. Not the material body. The material body is a bag of stool. Are you a bag of stool? Here's a bag of stool, urine, pus, blood. You want to think that that's you? This is how Prabhupada convinced us. Prabhupada convinced us. We look at the body, the skin covers everything, so you don't. And even though something comes out, you quickly forget. So, and everybody thinks, I'm bag of school, and I'm the king bag of school. Just see the crown on my head? I'm the king bag. So no, you're an eternal part and parcel. You're eternal. Satchidananda. This was good news. You're a Satchidananda. You're from the spiritual world. God is a person. And you can love him. You can have a relationship with him. But to do that, to understand God, and to understand yourself, you have to surrender to God. It's the only way you can understand God. If you don't serve Krishna, you don't get Krishna. I think even George Harrison would say that. Prabhupada's disciple, Sriman George, who came here, saw him in Vrindavan when he came here. Anybody here saw him? Wow. So, Guru Das, when a long time ago, I on my way to India, maybe the first time I saw him in England, he was sannyasi at the time, and he was with Prabhupada and George Harrison, and he said some devotees told Prabhupada that Prabhupada, you know, devotees are young, they're naive, and they said, Srila Prabhupada, why don't all the Beatles become devotees? You know, John was chanting Hare Krishna for a little while, and George became a devotee, so why don't all the Beatles, they seem like nice lads. pious lads. And he said that Prabhupada responded to him. He said, in their last life, they were all demigods. And that's why they are so have such a big impact on the world. Everything they say, all their music. And he said, now they are enjoying that is all right. That's what he said. But George, yeah, he became a devotee. He understood. Some people don't understand. Some people don't have the brain to understand. And then Prabhupada, he would, if you are still envious of Krishna, after hearing this knowledge, you don't want to serve Krishna and to surrender to Krishna. You're just going to surrender to all your illusions. Prabhupada would still try to help you. He said, your brain is like cow dung. What you can understand, your brain is like cow dung. And then we would hear that. My brain is like cow dung. I'm thinking I'm very intelligent. I think this is me. You said my body is a bag of stool. Okay, I guess you're right about that. And now because I can't understand, I'm not the body, I'm part of Krishna. And because the problem is, your brain is like cow dung. That's okay. Chant Hare Krishna. Everything will clear up. Everything will... And as soon as we stop chanting, then the maya comes back. As soon as we stop associating with devotees, then we think the material illusions are what we should go for. And that happens to quite a few devotees. I don't personally know. I wonder. There's so many wonderful devotees that Prabhupada's movement has created in India. So many wonderful devotees from Bombay to Calcutta to Kerala to... There's even devotees that preach in the Himalayas. Maybe you know that one Baba that came out of the Himalayas. He might have been a Naga Baba. He had matted hair down to his feet. He was a short man, lived in the Himalayas. He said he got a Bhagavad Gita from somebody up there in his cave in the Himalayas. I think it was Mahasringa Prabhu gave it to him. Where's Mahasringa? He's always selling these Bhagavad Gitas. But somebody gave him a Bhagavad Gita. And he came to Mayapur. The devotees told me this. I used to go there a lot when I came to India. He said, and he wanted to surrender. I've come to surrender to Prabhupada. And the devotees look at him. He's wearing kopan, hair down to his feet, matted hair. He's a yogi. I want to surrender to Prabhupada. They're wondering, is this real? And then he told them. So he was the man, as far as I understand, the older gentleman, who went on Padyatra with Lokanath Swami's group all over India. And gray sika, he shaved up, brahmachari, and he would travel in this little, one of the bullocks would pull this other cart with the books, and he would, do you know this man? Anybody? That's him. Krishna Nam. Now your service is Krishna Nam. He was really old. He would just dance and encourage the people to chant. What else are you going to do with your life? Make a lot of money and keep it in the bank all for yourself? It belongs to Krishna. At the time of death, Krishna will come and take it back and he will see what you have done with my money. Nothing. You're a millionaire devotee. What have you done with my money? Nothing. You kept it in the bank so the demons can use it. That's what they do. When people keep the money in the bank, the demons that run the world, they use it to start wars and build bombs and things. You know, they make money for themselves. They use the interest like that. But if you're a great king, like Maharaj Ambarish, Prabhupada, one of his disciples, he called him Ambarish Das. And Prabhupada sometimes called him Maharaj Ambarish because he knew what he would do in Mayapur. He asked him when he was a young man, great-grandson of Henry Ford. Prabhupada told him, where is Mr. Ford now? In case you want to become like Mr. Ford, that was 40s or 50s or something. And you want to become like Mr. Ford and make all that money selling things? I'll sell tires. I'll sell toothpicks. Let me see. If I sell 200 million lakhs of toothpicks, I'll be rich. But where is Mr. Ford now, he said. Where is he? And where is his money? Anyway, Ambarish could understand right away. He understood, like all of you understood by Krishna's grace. It was destined that you have come to help Srila Prabhupada spend this mission in India. And Ambarish is not a selfish person. He has millions. He gives millions to Lord Chaitanya, to his guru, to help bring people to enlightenment so that they will live properly. They will go make advancement in spiritual life. At least they won't become an animal in the next life. At least, if you do a little devotional service, this much guarantees you, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, at least you'll get a human body in your next life. And then you can make more advancement. But if you do nothing, if you spoil your life, simply remain a hippie. Are there Hindia too? If you remain a hippie, what, spoil your life taking drugs and illicit connections and so forth, you know, you may think you're happy, but... So this movement is very important. And we can just try to assist Srila Prabhupada, especially in giving these books to people so that they can get knowledge. I remember most of you probably have come after Prabhupada left this, went back to Goloka Vrindavan, but there... In the beginning, Prabhupada didn't even have these big books. He had the first canto from India, the brown books, and then he started translating all the other books. So when the second canto came out, it came out in little booklets like this, about this big. Lord in the Heart, that's one of the chapters of the second canto. Like that. Every chapter came out in little pieces like that. And we were so anxious to read them. And then more devotees came. More Sankirtan was going on, more Lakshmi, but money would come. And he started printing the big books. And as soon as they came, we were so anxious to read them. Wow, look at this knowledge. We were amazed at this knowledge. It's not just knowledge about heaven and earth with no description. And it's the whole knowledge about everything, the universe, Goloka, Vaikuntha, everything. And how... If you stay in Maya, you're going to nothing but suffer. And your Maya, the Maya is such a thing that even though you're suffering, you think you're happy. Maya's pretty good. Maya's pretty good. Even though we're suffering. Just like Prabhupada loved all his devotees, householders, brahmacharis. But he would try to give little bits to elevate people. So one time he's seen, I guess it was in India, he chew the thorns on the trees, right? And Prabhupada said, just like our householders. You know what you mean? No? Oh, okay. The camels chew the thorns. The thorns cut his big tongue. The blood mixes with his saliva, and how would Prabhupada know this? But and the camel is thinking, very nice. So they keep chewing him. Thorns cut anybody's tongue. They think it's very nice. So he said, similarly, in the form of sex life, he said the male was given so much blood in the form of semen during sex life, and after he's given it all away, he's thinking, I'm very happy. So nice. So anyway... Whatever position we're in, Srila Prabhupada said, you have already made your life perfect, so what are you going to do? Just sit and chant Hare Krishna? That's good. Preach to people. Of course, everybody who's chanting here, so many people are becoming enlivened. This temple is very special. These deities, very special. They were installed by Srila Prabhupada. This is temple in India. It's his home, so it attracts a lot of people. And some people from the West get to come here. Maybe all become enlivened. So even the kirtan is preaching. But we have to always remember we have to make sacrifices as devotees. We have to make sacrifice. We don't want to become... As a devotee, what do you want? You can't mix our material things that we used to want with devotional service. It tastes very bad. Like sweet rice, Prabhupada said, and you put sand in it. You know? Have you ever had sand with sweet rice with sand? So, devotional service, the more pure we become, the happier we become. It feels good. I was thinking, looking at Gaura Nithai this morning, bathe, when you're very dirty and you bathe, you feel good, right? So when you become purified through the process of devotional service, you feel good. Especially a devotee, you know, the more austerity you perform, the more sacrifice you do, the more pure you become, free from these unwanted habits, you feel good, you feel happy. There's no one happier than Prabhupada. And he's so great because, you know, he was born with no material desires. He came from the spiritual world to simply pick us all up and take us back home. That's his business. Lord Gauranga sent him. And he's still doing it. You know, this is why the devotees love him so much. He's the one that's picking everybody up. Have you seen Prabhupada personally? Did you see Prabhupada 1977, 1966? But you see him. Why do you see him? Because he's available to his devotees who surrender. Just like, how can you see Krishna? Everyone here sees Krishna when they go to Artik. You can tell they're just... they can't take their eyes off Krishna. Why? If he's just a statue, you look and you look away. See Krishna because they serve Krishna. They see Prabhupada because they serve Prabhupada's mission. And Prabhupada's mission is to change the whole planet. And he was sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you're here in India for the first time and you're thinking this is all very nice, that chanting is nice, devotees are nice, prasadam is nice, then what are you going to do with it? Become a devotee. It still means you can work. Like I used to see Ambarish. I was part of the Detroit temple for a while, and that's where his family is, and that's where his business is. And we used to see him coming sometime dressed in a suit, very expensive looking suit. And of course, he has to drive a Ford. He can't drive a Toyota. So, he's nothing but a devotee. I saw him it's nice to glorify devotees. I saw him once in Miami Temple, and I didn't recognize him at first because he's got his white pajama devotee clothes on, and he's serving everybody prasadam, and he has no big Rolex or any big fat rings on or anything, and he's serving everybody. So humble. So that's, Lord Chaitanya said that's the most important quality of a devotee. You have to stay humble. Srinadapi sunichena, tarodapi sunichena. Wear that verse around your head like a garland. Never give up devotional service. If you stop serving Krishna, you have to serve Maya. Maya will kick you. Krishna will never kick you. Krishna will embrace you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sangatana movement ki. Any questions? Lady in the back.
What time is class over? It's supposed to be over already.
Questions? We're very happy to be with all you Prabhus. I'm just trying to always think carefully. Take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on the head, and everything is nice. I like your temple president here, Shrestha Prabhu. He left to go to America for some time. Very nice devotee. He reminds me of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. I told him that yesterday. We have a question? Anybody?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Rupa Goswami divided his wealth in such a way that only half he gave to Krishna and the other quarter he gave it to his family and another quarter he kept it for emergencies.
Yeah.
And so now you're
Who?
Saying
Rupa Goswami?
We have to give everything to Krishna. So how do we buy some prasad or water? Well,
if you're a family person, you have to take care of your family. That's true. But the point we are making, that Prabhupada makes, is that you have to realize your sons, your daughters, your wife, if you're a husband or a king, it kind of says that. And it goes for the mother too, and the queen too, but especially the king, the queen, the father. It's your duty to make your family God conscious, Krishna conscious, and teach them as much as they can understand, because everybody can't understand the same rate. Everybody just can't understand. We all have different karma. But understand that, yes, you're part of God, you're from God, you have all the qualities of God, and you will not be happy until you go home. You'll be suffering in this material world. World War I, World War II, Mahabharat War in India, the Muslims invaded India, the Pakistan, anyway, don't want to talk about that. But so many wars, and World War IV, there's nothing but war here. So if you surrender fully to Krishna, so at the end of your life, like the kings, these kings were so great. Not only did they make sure the citizens are becoming Krishna conscious, at the end of their lives, they gave everything to Krishna. They took vanaprastha sannyas. They went to the Himalayas. Arjuna, Yudhisthira, right? Yudhisthira Maharaj, all these great kings, they walked away. They, you know, they want Krishna. Who wants Krishna? That means, yeah, but, you know, so that means surrender. But yes, so family persons are allowed to keep 50%. You're right, that's the equation. Don't forget that. But we're talking about the person who may give $10,000 to Krishna, and he wants everybody to mention his name, and at home he's got 10 billion rupees. You know, Krishna, that money also belongs to Krishna. So gradually, you know, Krishna will encourage him. Give a little more, give a little. You're my servant now. You have, I wish I had millions of dollars. There's so many projects you can give, right? Giriraj Swami, he was here yesterday. He used to say his father tried to bribe him. He was a millionaire. Do you know the story? He said, if you leave ISKCON and leave your guru, I'll give you $1 million. You can see his father's not happy. Devotees are happy. They're chanting and dancing. They're loving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's giving him Mahaprasadam. And my father's not. But another way you could do, yes, okay, I'll leave. Give me $1 million. And then you sneak out the window and give it to Prabhupada. Two things you can do. But sometimes when material opulence gets in the hands even of a devotee, it may bewilder their mind. But it depends on who you are, you know. And that happens to many Indian devotees, unfortunately, who go to America. America. And they put the red, white, and blue flag on their wall, you know. And, you know, and they get a job and they make more money there. And a lot of them forget to do devotional service. And where's that going to get you? Better you stay in India and, you know, spread the Sangirtan movement here. There are nice facilities here. We don't want big facilities as devotees. We don't want big facilities. But the servant in the rich man's home also is living in the home. So look at the home Krishna has here. And you're living in that home also. Of course, we're sleeping on the floor maybe. That's okay. We're happy we can sleep. We can sleep very nicely. And every morning we look forward to it, don't we? Materialistic people don't do that. They don't look forward to getting up the next day, right? They look forward to Friday when there's no more work and they can go try to enjoy some liquor and so on. And anyway, so stay Krishna conscious. Try to give Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible we can. Jagat Guru Swami, one really nice devotee, used to live here. He had a traveling party. He started the first temple in Jaipur. It was a preaching center. And he told me that once he went out and collected $20,000 from life membership. You know, it's not that much money, but it, you know, it's, those days was a lot of money. And he gave the check, handed the check to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just touched it to his head. He said, ah, this is preaching. There's some result, you know. So we get some results, distribute books, Lakshmi helping people love Krishna, You know, Krishna doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your body, but he wants you. He loves you. So we'll end class there. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Samatsunda ki. Vrindavandam ki jai. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.